Them. What are you preparing for? Obviously, this time of year we're preparing for December the 25th. But as we look through Scripture, people are preparing for things all the time. If we look at Abram, he was always preparing for things. For Moses, for Noah, well, Noah's an easy one because he prepared a big ship. Mary and Joseph, well, they're obviously easy ones to think about this time of year, as they were preparing for the birth of Jesus. The shepherds, as they prepared themselves to go and visit Jesus around the manger. The wise men, as they prepared to make that massive journey for them to go and visit the boy Jesus. And right throughout Scripture, we see people preparing for some sort of event that God was going to put in store. I liked what that pastor from Moldova finished up with in his little report on the video there. He said that we feel that we don't have much time because Jesus is going to come back again. When was the last time you heard about that? Or even thought about that? This time of the year we're thinking about Jesus coming as a baby. The Creator becomes part of the creation. But as Christmas approaches, I'm actually thinking beyond the manger scene. The manger scene reminds me that there's much more to come, that this is not it. The manger scene was never intended to be a permanent feature, but just to remind us of a greater thing that was to come. This story that's in Mark's Gospel that Donald so wonderfully read out. The disciples are coming out of the temple, and they admire the temple and its architecture. Historians of the day looked at this temple and they said, what beautiful work was done, how the bricks and things were all placed in absolutely perfectly. And the disciples come out, and in verse 1 of chapter 13, the disciples say to Jesus, what wonderful stones! What a wonderful building this is! And Jesus reminds them that this is not a permanent feature. Even the very stones of what they think is going to be there forever will come tumbling down one day. And that reminds me of what's going on in the world today. Everything that we see in the world today is just a reflection. It's not a permanent feature. And the biggest worries and concerns that we have in the world today are no different to the first century. People worried about the empire expanding. People worried about the EU expanding, whatever your views are on that. What wonderful stones, what wonderful buildings. And Jesus reminds them that these are not permanent features. Whatever's happened in politics this last week, you know, it's not a permanent feature. Nothing in this world is a permanent feature. It's not going to last forever. And that's why I really like this passage. It reminds me of the manger scene. It reminds me that God is always preparing, but reminds me, don't be discouraged, because what is going on in the world today is not permanent. Whatever happens next year in Europe or the world are not permanent features. Because we are reminded in Scripture that one day Jesus is coming. But are we preparing for that as much as we prepare for Christmas? You see, for the unbeliever, what we have in the world is the best it's going to get. But for you and I, we know that one day when Jesus returns, and there's what we're finding out at the moment, so many people in Eastern Europe and Central Asia are expecting the return of Christ very soon. I wonder how you figure that one out. Well, I think there are 10 very short pieces of advice in this passage that Donald read out to us that remind us Jesus came because this world is not a permanent feature. It's going to finish one day. But he also came to tell us that one day he will return. And when Jesus says to his disciples that he's going to return one day, the disciples say to him, well, what will be the signs to show us when you're coming back again? And what are those signs? Well, the first one is found in verse 5. He says, do not be misled. Well, there's a good one for this last week in politics. Do not be misled. But it's not just about what's happened in this last week. It's what's happening this week and next week and the following year. And what this simply means is don't be led away. Don't be seduced by the world. Don't let the world sever you from the truth. Well, we've talked about lots of lies and things that have gone over on both sides of the political spectrum over the last week. But it's interesting, even in the first century, Jesus is warning his disciples, do not be misled. Many will come in my name and say that I am the one you're looking for. That's the first piece of advice in this world while we're waiting for Jesus to return, is not to be misled. The second piece of advice is found in verse 7. And he says this: do not be frightened. He says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. There are so many conflicts going on in the world today. And yet Jesus says, do not be frightened. Whether it's a national disaster, or later on in this passage he talks about nation rising against nation, and many crying out with fear. And Jesus goes on in verse 8 and he says, these are just the birth pains. The birth pains. You know, when we're expecting our children, and I went through the birth pains, first of all, I thought, I'm glad I've done my bit, and I don't have to go through any of that kind of stuff. But the birth pains for us were the expectation of life to come, new life, and hope, and big change, and dreams, and to think about a future. It wasn't the end, it was the beginning of something. And where the world thinks that the world is falling apart, for the Christian, no, this is just the birth pains. It's the expectation of a better life to come. Well, I don't know about you, but when I look at the nativity scene, I have to remind myself, do not be frightened and don't be misled. That is the reason why Jesus came to this earth, to remind us that this world is not a permanent feature. Do not be frightened and do not be misled. Well, what's the third piece of advice that Jesus gives to his disciples? I think it's found in verse 9. He says, be on your guard. He says, they will deliver you into the courts, the synagogues. In other words, because you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to end up in uncomfortable places because people don't like Christians. I was looking at some news headlines this morning, and it appears that Netflix was starting to show some films about Jesus. It's a comedy series. It's not very pleasant. It makes Jesus out to be gay. It's really not very nice. And there's one country in South America, and over a million people protested against this. And even the government of that particular nation protested against it. They didn't just let it go past. They were on their guard. And you and I too must be aware of what's going on in this world today. And we too must be on our guard. Like the people that I've shown you today in the various pictures or in the various films, they have been delivered into the courts just because they are Christians. And yet Jesus says, do not worry about these things. Be on your guard. The fourth piece of advice is found in verse 11. He says, when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not be anxious beforehand about what you're going to say, because God will speak through you. In talking to somebody who spent some time in prison in one of these countries, he said this, that the more pressure he got under for being a Christian, the more he saw the power of God in his life and the Holy Spirit working through him. The worse it gets, the better his relationship with God got. You know, we don't think about persecution in that way, do we? We're afraid of what people will think of us. And yet God's word says, don't be anxious what people will think of you, because you'll see such a move of God in your life like you've never seen before. Wow, that's extraordinary, isn't it? If only we were just to step out just that little bit more and see what God would do in our lives. And this is why Jesus says to his disciples in verse 11, don't be anxious. The next piece of advice in verses 23 and 33, he says, be attentive. Let's remind ourselves of that. Verse 23, he says, take heed, or be attentive to what is going on. Verse 33, he says a similar kind of thing. He says, take heed, keep on the alert. The attention is in the detail. There is a very real sense that nothing that happens in this world should actually take us by surprise. Jesus already says to his disciples that there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be nations rising up against nations. There'll be earthquakes in various places. Interesting, there was an earthquake in Albania in the last 24 hours. Did anybody hear about that one? Quite a big one. So all these sorts of things are going on in the world today. This is why when I look at the nativity scene, it reminds me that I need to pay attention to what God is saying about situations in the world, and not just what the world is saying. We need to examine God's word and see what it says. The sixth piece of advice can be found in verse 28, and this is an interesting one. Verse 28, Jesus says, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When the branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near." There is a parable in the first century that most rabbis taught in the synagogue, and it was looking out for when God was going to move. And they used this illustration of looking at seasons, and they used the particular illustration of the fig tree, because they said you can look at the fig tree and tell what time of year it is by the way that the leaves are on the fig tree and what colour the leaves will be. And as the leaves begin to turn, you know that summer is near, and it's the end of one season going into another. And this is interesting, because Jesus takes up this same thought that is common from his day, and he uses it about himself. And he says, learn that parable of the fig tree. Be learning about the seasons. What is kind of season is it for us as Christians? Not just winter time, but spiritually speaking. Because Jesus says, as you see these things begin to take place, notice that there is a season change. You know, we're looking very doom and gloom in the UK at the moment. Possibly, could there possibly be a season change? Who knows what God will do next year in 2020? Not just here, not just in your own life, but right across the nation. You know, the revivals that have gone on in the world, the true revival, especially in the 1800s, always happened when people were at their worst. I don't know if you've thought about that. There was a big revival in America in the 1850s. The banks had gone under, the crime rate had gone up, the divorce rate had gone up, the abuse against children had gone up, and there was such a mighty revival moving across the United States in those times. What does God's word say about what is going on in our world? And that's why I think it's quite interesting that Jesus uses this parable that is known at the time. Look at the tree. What's happening with the leaves? Is it a change of season? Remind ourselves as well that the disciples are coming out of the temple and they see these big stones and they say, "Jesus, what a beautiful building." And Jesus is saying, "This is not a permanent feature. Things are about to change." The seventh piece of advice is found in verses 33, 37, and 35. It's almost like an emphasis on what's already said, being take heed. But here he says, be alert. And this is a military state of readiness. So it's no time to fall asleep. One of the illnesses that's on the rise in the UK is what they call sleep apnea. I'm sure you've heard of that, where people can't help but fall asleep. And the word that Jesus uses for falling asleep in the Greek language when this was written is the same kind of word of just, you can't keep yourself awake. You just find yourself drifting off all the time. And Jesus says to his disciples, this is no time to drift off and fall asleep, spiritually speaking. We need to be ready. We need to have a state of readiness. I don't know if you've noticed, according to the news several times, the British military bases up in Scotland have had to send off Typhoon military jets to push back the Russian reconnaissance aircraft that seem to be coming into our territory quite a lot, just to see how quick we can respond to them. Well, isn't it good that our military aren't in their hammocks thinking, well, nobody's fighting us, so we'll just go to sleep? And yet, spiritually speaking, very often we think that. We just fall asleep. But God's word says, we need to be on the alert. We need to be like that typhoon base in Scotland, that as soon as something comes, we're ready to meet it head on. State of readiness. See, the church is not a cruise ship, it's a battleship. In 1 Peter 5 verse 8, it says, be on the alert, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion. The eighth piece of advice, you're probably glad I haven't got 100 pieces of advice, I only chose 10 on this one, so here's the top 10, number 8 coming in. Verse 36, be ready. Be ready. Let's remind ourselves what he says in verse 36. Lest he come suddenly and find you asleep, or unexpectedly and find you asleep. My dear mother, bless her, before she went to be with the Lord, she was always ready for something. I remember at Christmas time, under the Christmas tree, there was always a present with a label on it, but nobody's name on it. And I used to think this was really, really strange. And eventually, when I was about 20 years of age, 20 Christmases, I plucked up the courage and said, Mum, who's this present for? You've always got a present under the Christmas tree, but nobody's name on it. It just says two and then a blank, love, Bill and Pam. And I used to think she was away with the fairies. But she said this, you don't know who we might invite on Christmas Day. Or somebody might just turn up at the Christmas service and have nowhere to go. But we're ready for somebody to come. And we can just put their name on and give them a present. She always prepared extra veg on Sunday, extra potatoes. And I used to think as a kid, why on earth is she making so much veg? It's only us. And one day I asked her, Mum, why have you got so much veg? And she would always say, well, you never know who your father's going to bring round for lunch. She was ready. She had a store cupboard, and one part of that store cupboard, even before we had the food bank in Tewkesbury, she would always have cornflakes and tins of beans and tomatoes and other things. And I used to say to her, what's that food over there for? And she goes, I'm ready. I'm ready to meet a need. So if something happens suddenly, I'm ready for it. She never knew when the need was going to happen or who was coming, but she was always ready. She had made the preparations, which is why I say to you at this Christmas time, we're making preparations for December the 25th, but what preparations are we making for the Lord's return, when he will come again? It might sound heretical, but this is not a permanent feature. The nativity scene is not a permanent feature. One day when we're pushing up daisies, we're going to be with the Lord, we'll realize that this life was not it. The permanent feature is yet to come. Be ready. Number 9, verses 36 and verse 37. Don't be asleep. It's a little bit like being on alert, but it's making sure you're keeping awake. I remember the first time I went out sailing and I left Falmouth and went down to the Bay of Biscay and then going down to the northern tip of Spain. I remember the captain on the boat, he said, whatever you do, don't go to sleep when it's your time to be on watch. Well, I did go to sleep once and got a good telling off and suddenly realised how many lives were at stake just because I drifted off and I didn't really care. I thought we'd got autopilot that will look after things. The thing is, autopilot can't see when a super tanker's coming towards you or a cruise ship or something like this. So I should not be asleep. Don't be found sleeping. I remember in my younger days going into work once and my boss said, why are you late? And I said, I'm really sorry, I overslept. And he said, you sleep at home as well? There we go. But this is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. It's emphasizing the point. This is no time just to drift off because there's a lot at stake here. And spiritually speaking, we've got a lot going on in Europe. We've got a lot going on in the UK. But what kind of preparations are we making? And are we going to be awake spiritually? One of the perks of the job, if you like, about working with SGA is I spend time with men and women right across Eastern Europe and Central Asia who are getting ready for Jesus to come back. And I come back to the UK, and this is not a criticism, it's an observation, but I come back to the UK and we're so absorbed in things that are just so temporary. Tenthly and lastly, verse 29, don't be discouraged. Verse 29, he says this, if I can find it. Even so, you too, when you see things are happening, recognize he is near, right at the door. This is actually a first century Jewish phrase. When they were expecting the Messiah to come one day, we know that we're living in the age of Messiah, because Jesus was the Messiah. They have this teaching going on in the synagogues right across that one day you'll find Jesus or the Messiah standing at your doorstep, and he's going to be that close and that personal. And this is exactly what Jesus is saying about himself in verse 29. 2,000 years on, we don't quite get that, but when you do the research into it, he says, even so, when you see these things happening, recognize he's near, right at your door. One day, it's going to be that close. Literally, on the doorstep, he is that close. And yet, we remember as we started off this passage, the disciples are going, look at these beautiful stones. And Jesus says, these are not permanent features. And this year, as we think about Christmas, and it's a wonderful time of the year, to remind us that nothing in this world is permanent. It's going to come to an end. But are we ready? Are we making preparations for things that are permanent? And that's why Jesus says to his disciples, don't be misled. Don't be frightened. Be on your guard. Don't be anxious. be attentive, be learning God's word, be on the alert, be ready, don't go to sleep, and don't be discouraged. I'm not discouraged about what's happened in politics this week. Why? Because it's not a permanent feature. Jesus is the permanent feature. Well, we're going to stand and close by singing, let's see, Behold Our God, and I think the words will be on the screen.